It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN. Hope you're having a wonderful time in the outdoors in the heat of summer. I'm going to talk about the heat right now that's being put on scientists around America by people, individuals that have no scientific background, simply are dealing on emotion, and how it is transforming wildlife management. I've talked about this before, but this is now reaching a new fever pitch, particularly in Colorado, where ballot box biology is taking over from people who are professionally trained to make management decisions. And before I do that, I want to talk about two groups that you probably don't hear much of, but they are doing incredible scientific work, and why things that are happening in Colorado and happened in California and other places with ballot box biology are so not only disheartening, but so threatening to the future of our natural resources. There are two groups. One is called the Wild Salmon Center, which is run by Guido Rahr out in Portland, Oregon, and it is doing absolutely incredible research on Pacific salmon, on steelhead, the entire ecosystem of the Pacific Rim. It's worked extensively in Russia. Unfortunately, after Ukraine was invaded by Vladimir Putin, Wild Salmon Center was asked to leave Russia, but it's still, its longtime work there is still having an impact in trying to preserve and scientifically gain information so that we can manage salmon around the Pacific Rim. This is a group that works behind the scenes, no politics, privately funded to carry out great science. Another group, the Bonefish Tarpon Trust, based in Florida, is a group that is, again, privately funded, hiring scientists to carry out research to understand how we can save the populations of bonefish and tarpon and permit, which are three of the really keystone species throughout Florida, up the southern part of the East Coast, up the Atlantic, and throughout much of the Caribbean. These groups work with the understanding that the information they collect will be used by state fish and game agencies and the federal government to implement sound fisheries and wildlife management. Delta Waterfowl Foundation, headquartered in Bismarck, North Dakota, and long known for its work across Prairie Canada, is another such group, privately funded, doing work on waterfowl and wetlands research. Ducks Unlimited, another such group. These groups are all private sector groups that exist to carry out research so that good habitat and species management can take place. And we owe much of the credit to the advances that we have made in understanding wildlife and being able to manage wildlife and fisheries populations to these kind of private sector groups. They're not government groups. They may receive some government funding, but by and large, the overwhelming lion's share of their funding comes from individuals who believe in the integrity of science and that you need good science to manage wildlife and fisheries populations. So here we are. Colorado has yet again succeeded in basically thumbing its noses at the scientific community. And I often talk about how state game agents, fish and game, and departments of natural resources in Illinois and other places are so disheartened when their own employees and their lifetime, their careers, doing research only to find that a legislator has a friend or somebody or something happens and a legislature inserts something in a bill. And the next thing you know, years of research is going out the window. And I think about the work being done by Stan Garrett at the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, the single most important work into the habits of urban coyotes and raccoons anywhere in the world, the longest running study of all time, so that in this field, so that we can understand how we're going to manage coyotes and raccoons. Well, all of a sudden, Illinois could be thrown into the same kind of mix that's happening in Colorado. Headline, anti-hunting group gets enough signatures to put a cougar hunting ban on the Colorado ballot this fall. This is not the first time it's happened, but this is exactly what's going on. And somehow, those of us, those of you listening, and all of us who care about the use of science when it comes to managing wildlife and fisheries populations and habitat, we have to put an end to this ballot box biology and let the individuals who are trained to manage wildlife resources manage them. If you were an engineer and you spent time engineering a project so that it was safe and it would work, and suddenly some legislator get something on the ballot which says that you shouldn't be able to do things that way, it's no different. It's the core fundamental structure of wildlife management that's at risk. So the animal rights group has come under the headline of "Cats Aren't Trophies," and has collected enough signatures to put mountain lion and bobcat hunting ban on the ballot this November. It's called Initiative 91, and it's highly misleading. It says the cat petition passes if all the signatures are accepted. In other words, they needed 135,000 petitions. By the way, they paid $5 and $7 per signee to get the initiative on the general election ballot. So somehow this group, which is primarily funded by the Humane Society of the United States and Friends of Animals, PETA, raised over $1 million to pay people to sign a petition to put a measure on the ballot that has nothing to do with science or wildlife management. It all has to do with emotion, which is not based on science at all. The Colorado Wildlife Commission, Department of Natural Resources, is forbidden by the state of Colorado from commenting on ballot initiatives. That happened a couple of years ago. So here you have the professionals who were hired to run the Department of Natural Resources in Colorado, and they can't even comment on this. They're not allowed to. But Colorado has an extremely healthy mountain lion population. Perhaps as many as 4,500 mountain lions are present in Colorado. The only way to manage them is through hunting. Last year, about 500 or so mountain lions were harvested in Colorado, with about 20% of the hunters actually having success. They're extremely hard to hunt. If there is not hunting of mountain lions, the mountain lion population will continue to grow to a point where it's out of control. And the other thing that happens, when mountain lions are afraid of humans, humans need to be afraid of mountain lions. The reason that we have hunting in so many cases is to keep a balance in place between predator and prey. And it also is so that animals have a continued fear of humans. If mountain lions aren't afraid of you, good things are not going to happen. And that's exactly where this is headed in Colorado. A number of years ago, California took the step to ban bear hunting and to ban mountain lion hunting. Mountain lion hunting was banned in California in 1990. And it turned this over to the state rather than allowing licensed buying hunters to manage mountain lions. Well, in a period of less than a decade, over 2,000 mountain lions in California had to be killed with depredation permits at a cost to the government due to conflicts with humans, livestock, and pets. So rather than have hunters, sportsmen and women, go and hunt mountain lions legally and ethically and pay to do so, in California now, we have to pay people to go and do this because we've outlawed hunting. So the result is the same. Mountain lions have to be killed and controlled. The difference is we're now paying people to go and do something that the state was being paid to do by people who wanted to go and do it. That's how messed up California is, but that's frankly how messed up this ballot biology is. This ballot backs biology. And in Colorado, if they are successful in getting a ban on mountain lion and bobcat hunting, as sure as I'm talking to you here this morning, there's going to come a time in the very near future where people are going to have to be paid to go and reduce the population of mountain lions instead of having sportsmen and women go and do it and ethically hunt and enjoy being in the great outdoors. This ballot box biology is I think that's the best word for it, and it's coined by Chris Dorsey many years ago, among others. It's the wrong way to manage wildlife. But more importantly, what are we saying to the people who have spent their careers studying and working in the field to come up with management solutions so that we can have sustainable wildlife and fisheries populations, so that we can have sustainable forests? What we're saying to them is, you don't matter anymore. It's all about emotion. It's all about rhetoric. Science is out the window. I'm afraid this is something that is going to dramatically change the success of what has been the North American model for a long time, where science dictates how we manage species, not emotionalism, not legislators, not politicians. Colorado is stooping to a new low. Other states are following. Unfortunately, we sure better hope Illinois doesn't. We have enough problems. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show. When I do, I'm going to talk a little bit. Last week, I talked about, can we have a little more kindness in law enforcement officers who patrol our waters and our fields for hunters and boaters? I'm going to recount a story last week, which happened this past week, which I learned about, that goes directly to the heart of why we need to really have a kinder, gentler, if you will, game warden oversight. The things that are happening are just headed in the wrong direction in a lot of cases, and that's not a slight on game wardens. They have a dangerous job. But at the same time, some common sense needs to occur. I'll tell you that story in just a moment when I'm back. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. First, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for being with me. Last week I mentioned, can we find a way to have people who are not intentionally doing anything wrong when they're boating, fishing, or hunting? Can we find a way to help them become either understand the sport they're pursuing better, or can we find a way to issue warnings to first-time offenders instead of sending tickets and the wrong message? This week, I'm going to describe a real-life situation that happened that was brought to my attention as the result of the show last week. Two individuals rented paddleboards. They had never been paddleboarding before. They rented the paddleboards. They put on their life jackets, and they were happily paddleboarding in a lake. And a law enforcement officer, state game warden, waved to them from the shore for them to come over. These two individuals are in their mid-20s. They went over to the shore. The law enforcement officer said, I want to see if you are complying with the regulations for paddleboarding. And they said, well, we hope so. We've never done this before. We rented these. And the law officer said, where are your whistles? And they said, what do you mean whistles? Well, it's a law if you're paddleboarding that you have to have a whistle. Well, we have life jackets on. The law says you have to have a whistle. We didn't know that. Then the officer says, where are your evasive species stickers? And they looked at the law enforcement officer and said, well, I don't know even what you're talking about. Yeah, it's a law in our state that you have to have an invasive species sticker on your paddleboard. Well, we don't know anything about that. We just rented these paddleboards. Well, you don't have an invasive species sticker either. So over one hour later, the law enforcement officer released them after citing each of them with $600 fines, a total of $1,200 for these two individuals to have the pleasure of renting a paddleboard, getting on a lake, paddling around, and being arrested. This is exactly why so many people are so frustrated with what has happened to the game wardens across America. So many in today's game wardens are acting as ticket writers instead of being there to help you understand what you need to do. It would have been so easy. And by the way, $1,200 to two 25-year-olds on a paddleboard, or even no matter what your age, is a lot of money. So now they have to go to court. They got to hire a lawyer. And they got to hopefully not have to pay $1,200 because they didn't have a whistle and they didn't have an invasive species sticker on their paddleboard. All the law enforcement officer had to say to you is, this is your first time on a paddleboard. I hope you like it. Just so you know, you're required to have a whistle, and also you're required to have an invasive species sticker if you're going to be on this particular lake. And the next time you come, please have a whistle and have an invasive species sticker. They're not required on every lake. They just happen to be required on this lake. And the law enforcement officer could have handled it that way. And these two young adults who were trying to have a day off from work, enjoying the outdoors, would have known they need a whistle and a sticker, and they would have gotten one the next time. Instead, they're out $1,200 plus lawyer fees, and I can guarantee you they're not going to be enthusiastic about paddleboarding ever again. Maybe they're never even going to go boating again. What we're doing is we are disincentivizing people to enjoy the great outdoors, whether you hunt, whether you fish, whether you camp. I'm sure many of you listening are nodding your heads. You have had experiences recently or in the recent years with law enforcement officers that are very different than they used to be. Law enforcement officers that I knew when I grew up helped us. If you didn't have your duck stamp signed, they said you need to sign your duck stamp. If you were missing a piece of equipment on your boat that you were supposed to have, a horn or something, they said you need to have a horn. They didn't sit here and write you hundreds of dollars worth of tickets. That's what's going on. I really hope that across America, those responsible for training law enforcement officers in the outdoors and those law enforcement officers currently in the outdoors recognize that we are the customer. We're the reasons they have their jobs. 99.99% of us are out there to do the right thing. And if we do the wrong thing, chances are it's by mistake. Give us a break. And if we're doing something wrong terribly, then we should pay for it. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week with the Great Outdoor Show, and I'll talk about the duck stamp tax, a tax that's not supposed to occur. It's a transaction tax. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.